Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on July 12, 2011. We want to welcome all of you who have joined us today in person or by listening to the webcast of the meeting. Today, the board will consider staff recommendations to propose attestation standards for reports to be filed by brokers and dealers as proposed by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission and propose an auditing standard on supplemental information accompanying financial statements. Before we proceed with the agenda, I want to note for the record that we have four board members present. Board Member Ferguson is out of the country, and with a quorum, we will proceed. The first and only order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation that the board issue two releases, one proposing standards for attestation engagements related to broker and dealer compliance and exemption reports proposed by the Securities and Exchange Commission as part of its amendments to Exchange Act Rule 17A5, and another proposing an auditing standard for supplemental information accompanying audited financial statements. To present the staff's recommendations on this agenda item, I'll turn the meeting to our Office of the Chief Auditor for the staff and Mr. Bauman, our Chief Auditor.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. As you said, we are here to recommend two important standard-setting proposals for the board to consider today. The first is a set of two proposed attestation standards relating to the compliance examinations and reviews of brokers and dealers that would be required under the SEC's proposed amendments to its Rule 17A5. The second is a proposed auditing standard that would establish requirements that apply when an auditor of the financial statements is engaged to report on supplemental information accompanying the financial statements, such as the supporting schedules required by SEC Rule 17A5. Joining me today to discuss these standards are Keith Wilson, Deputy Chief Auditor, and Barbara Vanich, Associate Chief Auditor. On June 15, 2011, the SEC proposed amendments to Rule 17A5 regarding the annual reporting by broker-dealers to update the existing requirements and to facilitate the ability of the PCAOB to implement oversight of auditors of broker-dealers as required by the Dodd-Frank Act. In that meeting, Commissioner Aguilar stated that, quote, it is estimated that the customer securities positions held by just the four largest broker-dealers total several trillion dollars, close quote. Consequently, the proposed attestation standards we are asking the board to consider today focus on furthering the protection of customers by explicitly requiring the auditor to test the existence of the customer assets held by brokers or dealers who maintain custody of customer funds or securities, to consider the risk of fraud, including the misappropriation of customer assets, and to consider the risk of material noncompliance that could be associated with related parties, including investment advisors and others with whom the broker-dealer has a custodial or clearing arrangement. The proposed attestation standards, which Keith and Barbara will discuss, would align the PCCOB's attestation standards more closely with the auditor's responsibilities in the SEC's proposed amendments to Rule 17A5. The requirements in the attestation standards are closely related to the information included in the supporting schedules for brokers and dealers and therefore emphasize the importance of coordinating the work in the attestation engagement with the audit of the financial statements and the supporting schedules. The separate auditing standard we are asking the board to propose for public comment today would provide requirements for auditing supplemental information accompanying audited financial statements, which would include the broker-dealer's supporting schedules of net capital and of the computation for determining the customer reserve requirements and information related to the possession and control of client assets. The information presented in these schedules is critical to a broker-dealer's compliance with SEC rules that are designed to protect customer funds and securities. The development of these proposed attestation and auditing standards has been a significant effort led by Keith Wilson and Barbara Vanich within the Office of the Chief Auditor. In addition to Keith and Barbara, I want to thank Lisa Colangelo, Nick Grillo, Mike Gerbert, and Hong Zhao of the Office of the Chief Auditor for their extraordinary efforts in the development of these standards. I also express great appreciation to Bob Burns and Nina Majeri-Azad of the Office of General Counsel for their outstanding support to this project, and to our colleagues in inspections, enforcement, and research and analysis for their valuable contributions. Finally, I'd like to thank the staff of the Securities and Exchange Commission, who provided timely and helpful assistance and advice. Thank also the staff of FINRA, who've helped inform our thinking on various audit issues specific to the broker-dealer industry. Now I'll turn it over to Keith and Barbara.
Thank you, Marty. Mr. Chairman and board members, before Barbara Vanich discusses the individual standards, I'd like to discuss why we've developed the proposed standards in our recommendation and the staff's approach to developing the standards. As Marty mentioned, the catalysts for the standard-setting project were the Dodd-Frank Act and the SEC's proposed amendments to its Rule 17A5 on broker-dealer reports. The SEC's proposed rule would require brokers and dealers to file in their annual reports one of two new reports: a compliance report, which is to be examined by an auditor, or an exemption report, which is to be reviewed by an auditor. The SEC proposed rule also would require that the examination or review, as well as the audit of the financial statements and supporting schedules, be performed in accordance with PCAOB standards. In light of the SEC's proposed rulemaking, the staff developed the proposed standards for the examination and the review that would be required under the SEC's proposed rule. Two factors influenced the staff in developing the standards. The first factor is simplicity. The proposed new standards draw on the principles and concepts in the board's interim attestation standards, would be simpler and easier to use than the interim standards because they're tailored to the examinations and reviews required by the SEC proposed rule. For example, without the proposed examination standard, auditors would need to look to two or three interim attestation standards to determine the generalized requirements applicable to the engagement, and then develop tailored approaches to meet those requirements. In contrast, the proposed examination standard follows a risk-based approach that sets forth the procedural and reporting considerations for the broker-dealer compliance examination. Similarly, for review engagements, the board's existing interim standards have very general requirements that offer little insight into the type of specialized engagement required by the SEC's proposed rule. However, under the proposed review standard, the primary procedures to be performed consist of making certain inquiries, reading certain documents, and considering the evidence obtained in the audit, with additional procedures needed if the auditor identifies a problem. The decision to develop separate standards for the examination and the review also was driven by an interest in simplicity. For example, the review standard is about half the size of the examination standard, which reflects the difference in the scope and magnitude of the respective engagements. The second factor that influenced the development of the standards is focus. Specifically, the examination and review standards are tailored for the requirements of the SEC's proposed rule so that they direct auditors to focus on the matters that are most important to the objectives of the examination and the review. Both of the proposed standards are designed to be scalable based on the size and complexity of the broker-dealer and other risk factors. The proposed standards also include requirements for the auditor to coordinate the work on the examination and review with the work on the audit. The staff believes that a proper audit of the financial statements and supplemental information will provide a great deal of evidence that's relevant to the examination and the review. So proper coordination between the audit and the attest engagements should eliminate unnecessary duplication of procedures. Also, because many of the broker-dealer activities that are the subject of the auditor's examination and review relate to the handling of customer assets, the proposed standards direct auditors to appropriately consider the risks of fraud, including the risk of misappropriation of customer assets, that are relevant to the assertions in the respective compliance report and exemption report. The proposed auditing standard on supplemental information was developed because the staff understands that the supporting schedules in the broker-dealer's annual report are important to the SEC and the designated examining authorities in their oversight of broker-dealers. The Board's existing standards do not specifically address the procedural and reporting responsibilities for those schedules. Historically, auditors have applied interim standard AU 551 by analogy with respect to that type of supplemental information. But the interim standard is essentially only a reporting standard. The staff believes that it's important for PCOB standards to include appropriate procedural and reporting requirements for that type of supplemental information. The staff also realizes that audited supplemental information does not appear only in filings of brokers and dealers. It also appears in filings of certain issuers, such as audited schedules required by the Department of Labor that may be included in 11K filings. So the staff has presented the proposed auditing standard on supplemental information in a separate release from the proposed attest standards, and we hope that commenters on this proposal will consider the proposed auditing standard from the perspective of audits of issuers as well as broker-dealers. Now Barbara Vanich will discuss the individual standards and present the staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Keith. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. As Keith mentioned, in my remarks, I will provide you with an overview of the two proposals, starting with an overview of the attestation standards. Consistent with SEC proposed Rule 17A5, the proposed examination report would include, among other things, the broker or dealer's assertion regarding its compliance and the effectiveness of its internal controls over compliance with specified SEC rules related to net capital requirements, customer protection, including reserves and custody of securities, and quarterly security counts, as well as the rules of its designated examining authority that require account statements to be sent to customers of the broker or dealer, which I'll refer to as the specified financial responsibility rules. Both the proposed examination and review standards draw from the principles and concepts in AT 101 and or AT 601, but are tailored to these particular engagements. Both standards also include a requirement to coordinate the examination or review with the audit of the broker or dealer's financial statements, including the supporting schedules of net capital and customer reserves. The examination standard provides for a risk-based approach. In essence, the examination consists of procedures to assess the risks of material noncompliance with the specified financial responsibility rules, including fraud risks. Tests of compliance with the specified financial responsibility rules, including obtaining evidence about the existence of customer funds or securities held for customers, and tests of controls over compliance with the rules. The nature, timing, and extent of the test of compliance and test of controls depend upon and vary with the risks of material noncompliance. The SEC's proposed Rule 17A5 and this standard do not require an audit of internal control over financial reporting. They also do not require the auditor to express an opinion on the broker-dealer's process for arriving at its assertion. The examination standard includes procedures regarding communication of material noncompliance in addition to those required by the proposed SEC rule, and also include report requirements to address changes in the SEC's rules which differ from the reporting language historically used for broker or dealer audits. Under the examination standard, the auditor would express an opinion on the broker dealer's assertions. Consistent with the SEC's proposed Rule 17A5, the review standard would apply when an auditor is engaged to perform a compliance review of the broker dealer's assertion that it is exempt from the SEC's rules regarding customer protection, reserves, and custody of assets. Based on statistics in the SEC's proposing release, this would appear to apply to more than 90% of the SEC-registered broker-dealers. The review standard establishes requirements that are designed specifically for the review required by the SEC's proposed Rule 17A5. These procedures include reading the broker or dealer's exemption report to determine the exemption conditions on which the broker or dealer asserts its exemption, performing inquiries and other review procedures included in the standard, and evaluating whether evidence indicates that there should be modifications to the broker-dealer's assertion based on the results of the procedures performed. The extent of the inquiries and other review procedures will vary based upon a number of factors, including the broker or dealer size and complexity. The review standard also includes requirements for communication and reporting. In the standard review report, the auditor's conclusion states whether anything or not came to the auditor's attention which would cause the auditor to believe that the broker or dealer's assertion was not fairly stated. The proposal also includes certain amendments to several existing PCAOB auditing standards. Most notable are the amendments to Auditing Standard No. 3 on audit documentation and Auditing Standard No. 7 on engagement quality review. AS3 applies to engagements conducted pursuant to the standards of the PCAOB. The proposed amendments to AS3 consist primarily of notes to the existing requirements that are intended to help auditors apply the requirements of AS3 to attestation engagements, including the examination and review engagements discussed today. They also include a provision which would allow the auditor to combine significant findings from the attestation engagement in the completion document prepared in connection with the audit. The amendments also include proposed amendments to AS7. AS7 applies to the audits of financial statements prepared pursuant to PCAOB standards. The proposed amendments would require an engagement quality review and concurring approval of issuance when an attestation engagement is performed in conjunction with an audit of financial statements, which would include the examination or review engagement discussed today. Because the proposed amendments apply only to an attestation engagement performed in conjunction with an audit of financial statements, the proposed requirements are significantly less detailed than the EQR requirements for an audit, since generally considerable overlap of matters that are important to the audit and attestation engagement would exist. In addition to the attestation standards, we are also asking the Board to approve today a standard on auditing supplemental information accompanying audited financial statements, which would replace AU Section 551. The standard would apply when the auditor of the financial statements is engaged to audit and report on supplemental information that accompanies audited financial statements. The standard defines supplemental information within the scope of the standard to include, for example, the supporting schedules that brokers or dealers are required to file pursuant to SEC Rule 17A5. Under the standard, the objective of the auditor is to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to express an opinion on whether the supplemental information is fairly stated in all material respects in relation to the financial statements as a whole. Under the standard, when planning and performing an audit of supplemental information, the auditor uses the same consideration of materiality is that used in planning and performing the audit of the financial statements. The standard provides factors for the auditor to consider in determining the nature, timing, and extent of the audit procedures necessary to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence, as well as procedural requirements for the auditor regarding the supplemental information. These procedural requirements include, among other things, determining that the supplemental information reconciles to the underlying accounting and other records or to the financial statements as applicable, and performing procedures to test the completeness and accuracy of the supplemental information to the extent that it was not already tested as part of the audit of the financial statements. Further, the standard includes requirements regarding the evaluation of audit results to determine whether the supplemental information, including its form and content, is fairly stated in all material respects in relation to the financial statements as a whole. Determining whether supplemental information is fairly stated includes determining whether it is presented in conformity in all material respects with the relevant regulatory requirements when applicable. Lastly, the standard provides reporting requirements which retain the opinion language from AU Section 551 about whether the supplemental information is fairly stated in relation to the financial statements as a whole. However, there are some differences in the proposed reporting language, primarily because the supplemental information in SEC filings typically is presented pursuant to the requirements of the SEC or another regulatory body. For example, the opinion specifically addresses whether the form and content of the supplemental information complies with relevant regulatory requirements. This concludes our remarks on the proposed attestation and auditing standards. We recommend that the Board issue the two proposals for public comment with a comment period deadline of September 12, 2011. We would now be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty, Keith, Barbara. Are there any motions on these two proposals?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion.
Mr. Gelzer.
I move that the Board instruct the staff to release the proposed standards for attestation engagements related to the broker-dealer compliance and exemption reports that had been proposed by the Securities and Exchange Commission as part of its amendments to Exchange Act Rule 17A5. And I also move that the board instruct the staff to release the proposed auditing standard for supplemental information, company-audited financial statements, as the staff has recommended, for public comment for a period of 60 days.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Gelser, Mr. Hansen. Thanks to the staff for the presentation. I want to acknowledge all the staff who helped this project come to fruition, including in particular Marty Bauman, Keith Wilson, Barbara Vanish, Lisa Conroyello, Nick Grillo, Michael Kerbet, Hong Zhao in the Chief Auditor's Office, Bob Burns, Nita Majiri Azad from the General Counsel's Office. The board's proposed new standards, as you've heard, are designed to address the SEC's proposed requirements that brokers and dealers file with their annual financial reports certain supporting schedules required by the current SEC Rule 17A5, as well as one of two new reports, either a compliance report or an exemption report. The SEC proposed these requirements to amend Rule 17A5 on June 15, and the SEC's comment period is open until August 26th. The public will thus be able to evaluate the SEC's proposed rule and the PCAOB's proposed standards at the same time. First, let's talk about the examination, the proposed standard for examining compliance reports. The SEC's proposed compliance report would require, as you've heard, broker-dealers to report on their compliance with certain areas, internal control over compliance, with specific SEC rules related to net capital requirements, customer protection, reserves and custody of securities, quarterly security counts, as well as compliance with the rules of the entity's designated examining authority on sending account statements to customers. All of these directed right at the abuses and the concerns that led to the provisions of Dodd-Frank that we're concerned with. The PCAOB's proposed attestation standards would establish requirements for examining these proposed compliance reports. Examination, not an audit. The proposed standard is risk-based. It would require auditors to use judgment to identify and focus on matters that are most important to the customer protection objectives of the engagements. The proposed standard is also designed to provide for examinations that are scaled to the size and complexity of the broker or dealer's business, and it would require coordination, as you've heard, with the financial statement audit in order to eliminate duplication of procedures and promote appropriate use of evidence obtained. The standard on reviews of exemption reports. The SEC has also proposed, as you've heard, a new exemption report for brokers and dealers that do not hold customer funds or securities and meet the conditions for exemption from the SEC's Rule 15C33 on customer protection. That focuses on reserves of custody of securities. The SEC has proposed requiring a broker-dealer filing an exemption report to undergo a review by an independent accountant of the assertions of the broker-dealer in that report. A review. Many so-called introducing brokers are small operations. The PCAOB's proposed standard for performing reviews of the SEC's proposed exemption reports is intended to take the size and complexity of the broker into account. Our proposed standards for performing the SEC's proposed reviews are intended to take size and complexity of the broker into account. The extent of inquiries to make and the materials to review would naturally be less for a small, uncomplicated broker, we think. I should stress that these would not be audits, and the SEC has not proposed requiring audits. But similar to the compliance examinations, the auditor would take advantage of evidence obtained in the financial statement audit to identify risks without duplicating effort. Finally, as you've heard, the new proposed standards on auditing supplemental information would apply to audits of broker, dealers, and issuers when the auditor is engaged to audit and report on supplemental information that accompanies the audited financial statements. For audits of brokers and dealers, this includes the supporting schedules in the financial report, that is, the schedule of the computation of net capital, computation for determination of reserve requirements as required by SEC Rule 17A5. Under this proposed standard, The extent of testing of the supplemental information would be based on the extent of the risk of material misstatement of the information. The extent of testing of the supplemental information is to be based on the extent of the risk of material misstatement of the information. Moreover, if the supplemental information were already tested as part of the audit of the financial statements, as would be the case in some situations, the proposed standard would not require additional testing. Well, I will be interested in the comments we receive on the proposal, particularly the information that we get in the comment process about the risks presented in the examinations and reviews of the SEC's new proposed compliance and exemption reports. We will also be interested in information about whether the proposed standards appropriately address those risks and would, in a meaningful way, provide greater assurance as to a broker-dealer's compliance with the SEC requirements regarding safeguarding of customer assets. The intention here is to provide meaningful protection for customer assets and not to cause excess and wasteful effort. Now I'm going to return to my fellow board members for any discussion. Mr. Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to also make a statement and ask the staff some questions. Last summer, in the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, Congress assigned the board oversight responsibility for the audits of SEC-registered broker-dealers. At the board's June 14th meeting, about a month ago, we adopted rules to put in place two parts of the foundation for this new oversight program, funding and interim inspections. Today, the board begins consideration of the third piece of the foundation, the standards by which broker-dealer auditors do the work that the SEC's broker-dealer reporting rules require of them. The auditing and attestation standards before the board would establish rules of the road for auditor association with reports that the SEC has proposed to require broker-dealers to file with the Commission concerning compliance with the Commission's financial responsibility requirements, including the net capital and customer protection rules. Unlike public company auditing, the protection that investors derive from the auditor's broker-dealer work results primarily from the auditor's association with compliance-related information outside the basic financial statements themselves. The examination and review engagements that are the basis for auditor reporting on these matters provide the Commission, FINRA, and of course investors with independent assurance that customer assets are not improperly exposed to misappropriation or similar risks. The Board's proposed standards, as we've heard, dovetail with the Commission's proposed amendments published last month to Securities Exchange Act Rule 17A5. Specifically, under revised Rule 17A5, broker-dealers that have custody of customer assets would file with the Commission a report indicating that the firm is in compliance with the net capital and customer protection rules and that its controls over customer assets are operating effectively. The SEC proposals require that a PCOB-registered auditor examine and attest to these reports. Broker-dealers that do not have custody of customer assets, and that, of course, is the great majority of the registered broker-dealers, would file a report demonstrating that they're exempt. These firms would file a review report prepared by their auditor regarding the asserted exemption. In addition to the new compliance or exemption reports, broker-dealers already file certain supplemental information along with their financial statements, showing the calculation of their net capital and reserve requirements and information related to the possession and control of customer assets. The firm's auditor is required to review and report on this supplemental information. The proposed standards that would govern these tasks are designed to provide the level of assurance that the SEC requires, but without generating unnecessary expense or complexity, especially for smaller firms. The broker-dealer community is very diverse, and the business models and risk profiles of the roughly 5,000 broker-dealers vary greatly. The proposals, I think, recognize that reality. They're explicitly risk-based and intended to be scalable to firms of different types and sizes. The standards also emphasize that the financial statement audit and the work related to financial responsibility compliance should be coordinated to avoid needless duplication of effort. Further, most brokers are introducing firms that do not hold customer assets, and consistent with the SEC's expectations, the auditor's review of an exemption report would not require the auditor to marshal the same level of evidence as in an examination of a clearing firm's compliance report. Still, as the board knows from experience, striking the right balance in this kind of area is tricky. I hope that in their comments, investors, brokerage firms, and auditors will focus on whether there are ways we can improve these standards before they're finally adopted to make sure that for small broker-dealers in particular, they work both effectively and efficiently. Drafting these standards, and that's included a lot of underlying legal and auditing analysis, has certainly been a major undertaking. I'd like to join the chairman in thanking everyone on the staff that's been involved in the project, and particularly acknowledge the contributions of Keith Wilson, Barb Vanage, Nick Grillo, Lisa Calandriello, Michael Gerbet, Huang Zhao, and all in the office of the chief auditor, and in the general counsel's office, Bob Burns and Nina Mojari-Assad. Let me ask you a couple things about what's been discussed this morning. And first, as I said, I think the staff said, I think the chairman said, I think one of the real challenges in this project is creating standards that are scalable, workable for such a large and varied body of broker-dealers. I heard someone on television say in a different context this morning that complying with regulations is by definition a regressive tax because the cost is likely to be higher for smaller entities than for larger ones. And I wonder if you all could just touch again on what you've tried to do here to make these standards, and I suppose it's particularly the exemption report, which is going to apply primarily to the smaller firms, scalable, or to try to avoid this regressive tax phenomenon as much as we possibly can.
I'll start it off and then turn it over to Keith and Barbara. But I think as had been said a number of times this morning, the effort was there to make these standards risk-based, and that's probably the most significant comment we can make about their scalability. In that regard, the auditor's responsibility is to assess the risk of misstatement, the risk of fraud, and then perform audit procedures based upon, attestation procedures based upon those, that risk of misstatement, risk of error. It's also the standards also require that the auditor coordinate these attestation engagements, whether it's the compliance report or the exemption report, with the audit of the financial statements of the broker-dealer. And it's expected that significant information would be obtained during the audit of the financial statements about the broker-dealer's controls and compliance as well. So both the coordination with the financial statements and the risk-based approach should make these standards scalable to various different types of broker-dealers. And I don't know if Keith or Barbara want to expand on that in any fashion.
Well, one thing I'll point out is that these standards, when we looked at them, we considered a couple different ways of approaching them. One would be obviously to lay out a series of very detailed requirements that would vary based on the type of business the broker-dealer was in, the particular requirements that they were using, the exemption that they were claiming, and we determined that that wasn't the best way to go. We wanted something that focused more, that was simpler, easy to understand, easier to focus on the key aspects, the risks related to non-compliance with the rules. So we crafted these with a bit more general approach in mind that was much more principles-based and laid out the risk-based approach that we've talked about today.
I think the only thing I would add is that, for example, in a small, uncomplicated broker-dealer, the review procedures would just naturally take less time than in a large introducing broker-dealer that has a very large compliance or internal audit department.